Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off program. Here on live in studio is Jerry Coyne with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, you know, it's been talked to death about how great the games were on Saturday and Sunday. But
Not here.
We might be a little bit late to the game, but man, if Sunday's games are any indication of last weekend's games, it's going to be a great Sunday.
I'll tell you, JC, I absolutely agree. You know, Rich, I was thinking before this past weekend, wild card weekend,
right?
How can this get any better than the Super Wild Card weekend? That was pretty. There were a couple blowouts,
right?
But from a news value standpoint, the way that Dallas Cowboys game ended and so on, like, how does it get any better? And they blew us away with four unbelievable football games.
Four walk-off games. Walk-offs. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have scripted a better scenario, Keith. And I love, of course, we're fans of Matt Stafford, of course, hoping, most of us are, hoping that he does well. And I love the post-game interview he had. The name of that route that Cooper Kupp went on was called For the Love of the Game, because there's no chance, usually, you're ever getting that ball.
It should have been For the Love of Christ. What the hell is this guy running free down the middle of the field?
Exactly. He's the guy that's designed to clear out the underneath route. And when he saw that Kupp was running free, he just tossed it because he had Ndamukong Suh right in his grill when he threw it. And just unbelievable, because the Rams were leaking oil really bad. I was surprised they were going for it. I thought they're going to play conservative, go to overtime.
Right.
Nope, that was a defining moment.
They had no interest in playing for overtime. Nobody did.
No.
You know, a lot of controversy about the overtime rules.
That's right.
You know, and I go back and forth on it. You know, some people like, then stop them. Stop, you know, oh, it's just so unfair that Josh Allen didn't get a chance to get the ball. This is supposed to be the best defense in football. Stop, hold him to a field goal. So, you know, and then other people go, well, you know, go back to 10 minutes and whatever the score. It doesn't matter. You couldn't have got any better results.
Fourth quarter of the Bills and the Chiefs game was crazy. It was like a Big 12 game broke out in that fourth quarter. No defense and just up and down the field. It was incredible the amount of points scored, the yards.
We liked the under there, and it was looking good until the last 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, look at I was 47, right.
47-3, yeah, money. It's money.
Listen, no, I'm talking about the Chiefs game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But I won the bet on the Tampa Bay. Turned out to be good.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I agree with you completely about just stop them. That argument is valid. I get it. But at the same time, I don't think a game like that, especially in the playoffs, but any time, should be decided on a coin flip. You win the coin flip, you get the ball, and you go down and score, and the game's over. The other team doesn't get a chance to touch the ball.
Well, you could pick the wind.
We have witnessed that. Only Lions
Marty
fans.
Morning wig.
The wind.
Interesting. We'll take the wind.
No, not the wind, W-I-N-D.
You expect
wind.
The NFL to change the rule?
No. You know, if they play, if they change it, a lot of people are talking about the fact that the Chiefs are already in a bad position because they played the last game, went into overtime, and they're playing a team that played on Saturday. Okay, so who has the advantage? If you have to play another full 10 minutes of football, how does that put – what kind of disadvantage does that put that team in? I hadn't thought about it until somebody brought it up.
But remember, the Rams were coming off a Monday night playoff game, and they played –
but they're still stacking games,
yeah,
Rich.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Now these guys are now at game 21, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I was surprised when Tyrann Mathieu went down early in that Kansas City game. I go, Buffalo's going to win this football game. So maybe the most important defensive football player, at least on the Chiefs, and one of the 10 best defensive players in the game.
He's a ball hawk. He keeps that. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, what are the chances? I thought Burrow. How did Burrow avoid getting injured on Saturday? I hate to pat myself on the back, but I mentioned that exact thing last week. Watch it. Joe Burrow could easily get injured in this football game. How he didn't is a miracle.
It is. And that, you know what? That kid's for real.
Oh, he's yes. Korea.
You know, he's the first number one overall quarterback to get his team into a conference final game in his first 2 years. First guy to do that. It's pretty impressive what he's doing. And he has a better chance this weekend. Kansas City is one of the, has the, among the fewest sacks in the league. So yeah. I don't think they'll get after him as much as
right.
As bad as it was on Sunday.
His demeanor, even though he took those 9 sacks, and obviously that offensive line is atrocious, and you see why so many in Cincinnati wanted Penei Sewell to be on that line. But you can't argue with Jamar Chase and what he's provided.
Well, Penei Sewell is a great player, but yeah, he would not have had the impact that Jamar Chase had.
But for him to get up every time and just act like, okay, we're going to do this, I mean, you got to love that demeanor.
They call him Joe Cool, and he reminds me a ton of Montana. He really does.
Yep.
You know, he's not super big.
Right.
But, you know, he slides in the pocket. He doesn't run quite as well as Montana did. But he has got all that earmarks. The unfortunate problem for Joe Burrow is that he doesn't have Bill Walsh on the sideline.
Yes, for
you
sure.
Know? So I would like the Bengals' chances a lot more if the, you know, who's their coach? Zach Taylor has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But
because reviving that program, remember, Cincinnati was down with Detroit. I mean, they were like low.
They have been to 2 Super Bowls, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. No question about it.
And unfortunately for them, they ran into the Niners both times. I like the over huge in this game. 54.5, I think, is a mortal lock.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
It might be 54 at halftime. because the Bengals' defense is not that great. And, I mean, some of the plays, Tyreek Hill, that touchdown that he scored, he just ran past.
he was open by a mile. Yeah.
And he wasn't open by a mile. That's not true.
He just ran.
I think it'd be a different
that
play.
That crossing route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he ran open by a mile after he caught
that's
the football.
And he split that gap,
right,
even though they had the angle, and you saw the afterburners, and you're like, he's the fastest player in the NFL by far.
What a well-thrown ball that was, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mahomes proved, you know, when people were grumbling about what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes, not a lot.
No. Looks pretty good right now, doesn't he?
At $100 million a season or whatever, he's underpaid. I don't care what they're paying that guy.
I agree.
So I really like the shootout and over 54. I can't believe it's that low, to be perfectly honest with you. And it's 9 points higher than the other game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That game, the Rams Niners game is really fascinating. You know, the Niners have owned the Rams with or without Matt Stafford.
Right.
Sean McVay has not gotten a clue on how to beat the Niners. And but I can't believe, you know, I love San Francisco. Garoppolo, I can't believe they're still winning football games with this guy.
Yeah, and he's banged up.
Yeah,
pretty good now, dinged
but
up.
But they can run the football.
Oh, absolutely, and that's part of the reason why they beat the Rams twice earlier. I mean, they just out physical the Rams.
And they out physical the Packers. Yeah. Much to Keith's chagrin, you know, he was very upset that Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah, we go into a heck of a weekend of football, but we still have to put up with the soap opera now of what Aaron Rodgers is going to do and what Tom Brady is going to do and that whole soap opera for the next probably several weeks.
Weeks?
Months.
Yeah.
Rodgers will really milk it. Yeah.
Yeah, drag it on out, baby.
You know, somebody pointed out something that I hadn't thought about at all, but is 1,000% true about Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have any clue how to change a game plan. When he has a bad game, they're bad.
That's right.
You know, if he's getting pressured a little bit, then it's over. I mean, like how he lost to Tampa Bay. In the regular season, in that opener against the Saints. They got absolutely brutalized.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line didn't hold up very well for him, and the Niners did a fantastic job of covering Devontae Adams. And Rodgers just looked like
Yeah.
You know, okay, yeah. I'll keep trying to do the same thing. And you look at quarterbacks like Brady, like, you know, Terry Bradshaw, some of the all-time great. They adjust.
That's
okay,
right.
This isn't working.
That's right.
I'm not going down.
That's right.
Right.
That's
you know,
right.
Sure.
Let's try something else. And
yeah, if this isn't working right. And someone else, one of the analysts brought up, I thought, a pretty interesting point. Aaron Rodgers, throughout his career, if someone drops a pass early in the game with him or whatever, he tends not to go back with them.
Yeah.
You know, he'll just like, all right, that person doesn't have it today. And then when you start concentrating on only one or two guys, and the defense knows that, well, it's easier to defend.
And what do you see with great quarterbacks? A guy drops the ball.
Go right back.
You go right back to him and get him back going again.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
No, you know, Rodgers is you've been calling him a diva for a long time. He is really a diva. You know, he's like, okay, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Right during the game, right? You know, like, okay. And they talk about Matt LaFleur being a great offensive coach and everything else. I thought the Packers would run the ball a little bit more effectively. I mean, that Niners defense is for real.
It is.
All three lines, the D-line, their linebackers,
yeah.
And their defensive backs. The Rams have got their work cut out for them. You know, Matt Stafford better have a great game.
I agree. They play like 9 or 10 guys along their defensive front alone. I mean, it's so crazy how they rotate in with both. The Armstead guy is in the middle. I mean,
Armstead
that,
is having, I know it helps to have Joey Bosa next to you.
Yeah.
But, they are legit. The Rams.
Unbelievable.
You know, there's a reason why the Rams can't beat these guys is because they're really flipping good.
They've outscored 58-34 in these two games. They say it's tough to beat a team twice in one season. How about three times in one season?
It's not. The statistics prove that it's not hard at all to beat
a team
cliche. Three times.
Yeah.
No,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Okay. It's happened 20 times in the NFL where teams have beaten them twice,
uh-huh.
End up meeting the playoffs, and they've won 13 of the 20.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That explodes the cliche.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that explode the cliche, like, you know, the frozen tundra, and you can't beat Green Bay in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
That is upside down.
That mystique has been erased.
To see a field goal through the snow going over.
Oh, I know. Game went on, the snow on the field, it just
that
was
just
great.
Destroys Aaron Rodgers' legacy.
Yeah.
He's going to go down as one of the worst playoff quarterbacks in the game.
He's still won more playoff games than he's lost. I mean, it's not by much. But, I mean, okay, so who's a better quarterback, him or Dan Marino? I'm sorry, it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Marino, went to one Super Bowl. They got swamped and never went back. I mean, I love Dan Marino, don't get me wrong, and I don't love Aaron Rodgers, but every other team in the league would love to have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Brady's going to go.
He's making all the sounds of
it's just that, what's the old saying, Keith, you know it better than anybody. Once you start thinking about retirement, you're retired.
You are retired.
Yeah. Especially at that position.
Yes.
Yeah.
That requires so much time and effort. And you hear him talking about, he mentioned the next day with Jim Gray, he was satisfied with the season. You've never heard Brady say that about a non-Super Bowl season. I mean, so he's saying some things he typically never says.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he could certainly have a change of heart. But, you know, the Bucs team isn't going to be the same. There's going to be so much changing among the elite teams. You know, like, what is New Orleans going to be like now that Sean Payton's headed out the door, and who's their quarterback?
Exactly.
You know,
and that's why he's out the door.
No,
I think he's out the door. That's probably half of it, and you got to expect him to be the Cowboys coach next year.
Jerry Jones.
It.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating league, and like Keith and I were texting on Sunday, Joanne watched every single snap. That's why I said, now you know why the ratings are so good.
She's a fairly knowledgeable football fan, but she was like sitting on the edge of her seat.
How could you not be?
Yeah, exactly. Love the Bears fans are already upset about their head coaching hire because he's a defensive guy, Matt Eberflus. And so it just is, you don't know how those are going to work out, but they were hoping for a really offensive guy that could help their young quarterback and to Justin Fields to grow. And we'll see who he gets as an offensive coordinator, but it's interesting beyond, I mean, belief.
Well, what's the division going to be like when if Rodgers is out the door?
Wide open.
Yeah, we've got a lot more NFL to talk about because that's what we do here on Get Up. But the NFL Conference Championships are here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with 30-1 enhanced odds for either conference championship. Bet $5 to win, $150 on any team to win the conference championship game. Guys, I hate to say it, I like the Rams over the Niners. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook.
It's simple to use with generous promotions every day and best-in-class customer service. When you win, FanDuel will pay you in as little as 2 hours. Already use FanDuel? All customers can get $50 when you refer a friend, and your friend can get $50 too.
Don't miss your chance to win $150 on a $5 bet when you sign up with the promo code WGRY. 21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. Bonus issued on non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio for Friday Faceoff. Are you kidding me? He's been like that forever.
Right. Oh, I know. It's just...
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, guys, to continue our discussion about the NFL, you can't call it the No Fun League anymore because everybody had a whole bunch of fun. But there's still, six head coaching jobs left open?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. Not much talk about Jim Harbaugh in the past few days.
Sounds like 75-25 you stay in now.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to replace his D coordinator.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's a huge loss. I think that hurts tremendously.
Oh, I think it does, too. I don't know if, I wonder if he's thinking about bringing on Wink Martindale.
Yeah, who was just with the Ravens.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I don't think it was Martindale's fault with all the injuries. Oh. I mean, they had no defensive backs at all.
Exactly.
So I don't know what happened between Martindale, but even John Harbaugh said before Martindale left, McDonald's coming back to this team sometime. When we need a D coordinator, Mike's coming back to the team. So I'm sure Jimmy was a little surprised that it was only 1 year.
Yeah.
But when you look at the results that Michigan had, and, I hope that everybody can recover on the defensive side of the ball for the Ravens. I mean, they lost two All-Pros before the season even started, Rich.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it, JC. I mean, that hurts Michigan. It's a good win for the Ravens, no question about it. But, we'll see what they, like you said, you were hoping that this deal of McDonald coming to Michigan would be for at least 2, maybe 3 years, but because they were really hoping that Wink Martindale, I mean, he had done a good job up until all the injuries took place. I mean, when injuries happen, what are you going to do? You're playing guys that are on practice squad. You're doing all that.
Well, plus the offense was so banged up that the defense was on the field for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would take a hard look at him.
McDonald's timing in Ann Arbor was pretty good, though.
Oh, I sure was.
Think about it. Look at the players he hit on that side of the ball.
No,
give the players a little credit, too. It wasn't just the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he brought, and what the unspoken, he was a pretty good recruiter. He's a really, 34, he's now the youngest defensive coordinator in the NFL at 34.
Future.
He's got a good future, but that made him a good recruiter with the college game because he could relate to the kids.
Right.
They love that ability to relate to coaches.
You kind of wonder if he's is everybody they haven't lost any recruits because he left, have they?
I haven't heard a word about
losing. We're likely to.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It happens
how
all the time.
The recruits get to the recruiter.
Michigan got extraordinarily lucky to lose Sean Noah and
get the Elder
and get the kid from Notre Dame.
Yes.
But, it's a little bit later in the game now to be taking somebody's D coordinator.
Sure is.
From a college program. So it'll be interesting to see, would be, I don't know if what he's going to do, but who's the coach that got fired by the Broncos?
Oh, yeah.
Vic Fangio.
Yes.
if Fangio doesn't get a head coaching job, I would throw the $2 or $2.5 million at Fangio to come in and be D coordinator at the University of Michigan. Fangio is not a head coach.
Right.
But he is one of the truly great defensive coordinators in the NFL.
$2.5 million for a coordinator.
Well respected.
There's a couple guys that are getting
that.
I know.
It seems outrageous.
It does. That would be a great move.
So
he would do that.
Well, Harbaugh's going to have. You know, look at. There's a lot of change. Obviously, losing McDonald, and you know the players that they're losing. The recruiting class is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're going to be good freshman players. We've seen that happening more and more in college football, Keith. Kids coming right in and making a huge impact, especially when they come in, you know, they come in early. That's what's happening with the kid from TC Central.
Right.
You got to give them a chance to play or they leave.
Exactly.
So maybe that's why we're seeing a little bit of that too.
Exactly.
More kids coming early.
They come in early. They get in that weight room right away and they start running. They start putting on weight and they work on their speed. They do all that stuff. So they're right. Once spring ball comes around, they've already changed their bodies physically and mentally. They've gone through playbooks and all that, so they're ready to hit the ground running.
Don't play me, coach, and I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
It is.
You know, Jimmy better. Those who stay at least 2 years will be champions.
Right.
Please stay for 2 years. You know, I think we talked about this last week, and I got to go. We got to switch back to NFL, but this, you know, Michigan's got a couple of problems that a lot of these other universities don't, as far as the NIL, which I don't think that'll be as bad a lag as Michigan. I mean, take a look at some of the lags that Michigan's been through. Ohio State was selling seat licenses 12 years before Michigan did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Michigan can be slow to the get-go.
Right.
I think they'll be on top of the NIL, especially, Rich, because there's a lot of money in Ann Arbor.
Oh,
You know, I'm sorry, but there's a hell of a lot more money in Ann Arbor than there is in East Lansing. I mean, that's just the fact. I mean, Toyota's got headquarters there, and, you know, it's just nuts. Somebody's going to come to Coach Harbaugh and go, let me just do this.
Right.
Okay, we'll just run this for you, Coach, because it's legal.
Right.
You know,
similar.
But that's what I'm waiting to hear. I mean, colleges, programs getting their own NIL coordinators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like agents. They act like agents to get
Charlie
Batch. Their players.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And I think some colleges are probably doing it. I bet Ohio State is doing that.
What do you mean? They've been doing it for 12 years.
And then the guy at Michigan State, the mortgage guy, that's helped them out tremendously.
Matt Ishbia.
Yeah, Ishbia is... You know, paying Tucker's salary.
Like I told you, he screwed up. I told him to take the coordinator job.
the number of Michigan alums that are millionaires, I mean, come on. I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean? So, they're absolutely.
It's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. But the transfer problem is the big problem, and I don't see that changing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, these transcripts are not. It's hard to transfer into Michigan, period.
Yep.
Kids have been trying it for decades, Keith, to go to U of M Flint or U of M Dearborn and can't get into Ann Arbor.
No, that's right.
You know, so it's...
But it definitely is going to depth issues across the land.
Yeah.
I mean, because you just don't... Guys that are second string, well, I can go here and play. I'm going to play. And they'll do that immediately.
It's worse in basketball than football. You know,
it's just not the bulk of kids. Though.
That's right. Yeah. But a kid at a mid-major.
It's happening in girls' basketball.
That's right.
That's kind of surprising.
Right.
Yeah, the girl that was Miss Basketball in Michigan and went to Mississippi, right? She's changing.
Yeah, no. It is the wild, wild west in the NCAA.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might be one of the big. I'm not saying that Harbaugh is going, but when it's like this. You're like, you know what? I don't care if I don't own the football team. I probably might have more control in the NFL.
Bingo. Exactly.
Where
it wasn't that way
That's
before.
Exactly right.
You like the control of the college game, but that transfer portal is opened it up, and now, like you said, you don't even know who's on the roster day-to-day anymore.
But if Harbaugh can have another year like he had this year, then he can start stepping into that space where Saban is, where then you are in control. More national playoff TVs, more better recruits. When you have, on average, the top one, two, or three recruiting class every year, 26 four-stars, you don't care if some of them hit the door. You know, that's the one thing. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm like, well, this was pretty good. Look at how much more power I'm consolidating, how much we've chilled out the fan base, how much a little bit better. I don't know how many recruits some of these transfers are trying to get into Michigan.
Right.
But if he goes 7-5 again or something like that, then the wheel rolls backwards. But if they can get a one or two loss season and make it into the Big Ten playoffs or maybe make it into the national playoffs, that's going to really bode well for Jim Harbaugh.
No, I agree. You're talking about one of a handful of programs in the country that can do that, and Michigan is one of them that can do that. But I think I agree with the first part of what you said with the whole transfer portal business and so on. It just increases the workload and the stress level of the head coaches. They got to start by recruiting their own players first, keeping their own players. It's a way harder job than it was 5 years ago.
But Michigan's in a really unique position, Keith, because of the coaching staff that they have, all these ex-Michigan guys, you know, Hart and Bellamy, and now the kid,
Elsner.
So, I mean, I think that is definitely, and McDonald, although he's back out the door, and he's not a Michigan guy, because if he was a Michigan guy, I don't know if he'd gone back to the Ravens.
So those who stay will be assistant coaches.
Yep. Look at Mike Krzyzewski. I told you that a couple weeks ago, and you didn't even know it. Krzyzewski, you cannot be an assistant coach unless you played for Krzyzewski. And there's a lot of validity to the Michigan man theory because that's what Harbaugh.
That's the mantra.
That's why Harbaugh came to Michigan to begin with.
Yep.
When we first started this program, and you guys, there's no way Harbaugh's coming here. And I said, yeah, he is. Harbaugh's coming here because he is a Michigan man.
He can't resist.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of guys that can't resist. I mean, you know, Bellamy was one of the most successful high school coaches in the state of Michigan.
Right.
And he could have had a head coaching job at a place like App State or Georgia State or something else like that. Now, do you rather be a head man like that, or do you come back to your alma mater?
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that. You don't see... I mean, that's why Luke Fickell, is he going to be the next? Is he just waiting for the Ohio State job?
Right.
Sort of feels like that.
For Ryan Day
it?
To take the jump to the NFL?
Well, you know, we haven't heard that, but because, you know, they lost to Michigan and they didn't make the playoffs. So the wheel turns very quickly on our great sports landscape. But going back to the playoffs, guys, I didn't get your predictions on the games at all. Right. Rich, what do you think?
I've got the Rams winning that game with the 49ers.
And are they going to cover?
They will cover.
Okay.
They're going to win by 7. And I think the Chiefs beat the Bengals by 10.
Wow. Yeah. Look at you.
I know.
That's kind of what I got too, Rich. I like the LA to cover, something like 26-17, and I like Kansas City to win and cover with the over 34-23.
Well, I like the over, but now since you guys have both said that,
run the other way, go the other way.
I don't see the Bengals winning this football game. The Niners-Ram game is a complete toss-up. Yeah. You know the other thing that the Rams have going for themselves, guys, really quick is. Even special teams. I mean, special teams actually won that football game for them, right? The blocked punt and the field goal. So they are a complete football team. The Rams have some issues that the Niners don't. And, you know, the Rams are better win the coin toss and better score first. That's all I'm saying. If the Niners score first in this football game, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Speaking of betting, NFL playoffs are in full gear. And everyone can get a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. Get up to $10 back if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Same-game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You can combine bets on the money line, point spread, player stats, and more. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, and they pay you in as little as 2 hours when you win.
Just place your risk-free same-game parlay bet on any conference championship game to qualify. New customers, join today with promo code WGRY to get your risk-free bet, plus 30-to-1 odds on any team in the divisional round to win.
That's promo code WGRY on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in the state of Michigan. Bonus issued on non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guys, it's such a busy sports weekend, and we haven't even talked about the big game coming up tomorrow, which we will next. Michigan, Michigan State hoops here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Keith, one of the traditionally great matchups in the Big Ten, whether it's football or basketball, is happening tomorrow at the Breslin.
And what do we say, JC? It's not who you play, but when you play them.
Yeah.
These teams were supposed to play about 3 weeks ago in Ann Arbor, and I like Michigan State a lot more then than I do now to win this game. And Michigan State's at home, but they're not playing well. They're playing well sometimes.
They're playing
awful other times. Yeah, it's driving the coach crazy. I can't blame them.
No, I can't blame them either. We were just talking off air. The reason why I like Michigan to win this game is because they've got a consistent superstar, unless he's in foul trouble.
You're true.
In Hunter Dickinson. And where do you go when you need a hoop for Michigan State? Or do you need not to turn the ball over?
The turnovers, that's the problem. Michigan State, and that drives Izzo crazy. It's the turnovers, absolutely, the unforced errors. But
it certainly drives him crazy when you're not out rebounding the other team by 15 rebounds.
Hunter Dickinson, he's really that mid range game is. Look at, he's shooting the ball well. I mean, I really like it. But man, you know what it's like. What's the home court advantage? Has that proved a big difference in the last few years?
I can't think of, Izzo's not.
I don't think there is one with those two teams.
No, I was going to say, I don't think Izzo's getting as friendly a whistle as he's used to at Breslin. But, obviously, there's two variables. I was actually going to talk about this very briefly in football. I'll circle back to it in a minute. But there's two variables that you can't count on in college basketball, and that's the refs.
Right.
And making your open shots. I mean, it still comes down to putting the ball in the hoop. And when your best players are on the bench, or you shooting a hell of a lot more free throws than your opponent, then everything goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And, Michigan State, one of the main reasons why Michigan is playing way better basketball, Keith, is they're making their shots now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Diallo and Houston, Caleb Houston was generally regarded as the best outside shooter coming from high school into college, and he couldn't throw the ball into the ocean from a boat.
Right.
He's making those shots now, Rich.
He is, absolutely. He's certainly been a big difference. And like you said, he was super heralded to come in as a wing player and play great right out of the gates. And for Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines, that didn't take place. Those first 10, 12 games, it's just like, this kid was a big five-star recruit, and now all of a sudden, you're seeing it. You're like, this kid's making shots. They're doing a better job of moving the ball. More consistent point guard play, too. So they're really rounding into shape. It's going to be a great game tomorrow at the Brez.
JC, I wanted to ask you, mentioned the go-to superstar that Michigan has, Hunter Dickinson. And I was doing a little research last night prepping for this show, I was looking at the top candidates.
Don't be hit. I'm not getting a raise. Okay,
I'm looking at the top players available in drafting them up because the Pistons are going to get a pretty good player again, right?
Sure.
They're going to draft in the top three or four. But I look at the top. CBS has got a list of the top 50 recruits.
The top
50 players available in the college players available in the NBA draft, and the Athletic has the top 100. I don't see Hunter Dickinson's name on either list. Top 50, top 100?
I don't know if Dickinson's going to go or not, because they'll give him his draft status. Right now, to me, he doesn't look like
he came back to improve his draft status.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying right now he does not look like he's got some of the same issues that Luke Garza does. He looks slow.
Yep.
His skill set is a little bit better than Garza's. So, you know, he may go, he may not go, but you can go ahead and have those top 50. You know, the NBA wants these athletic guys,
right,
like Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You know, how bad is it? I was just going to say, how much the Pelicans need to fire everybody. Why do you take Zion Williamson over Ja Morant?
But the fast food places around New Orleans are busy.
Smoothie King.
Yeah.
But is anybody from Michigan State on that top 50 or top 100 list going into the NBA?
Yeah, sure. There's Michigan State number 13, Max Christie.
Really?
Number 26.
Does Max Christie look like a one and done player to you?
Number 26, Caleb Houston, Michigan. And number 39, Moussa Diabate, Michigan.
Yeah, Diabate is really
Three local players on the top 50 from CBS.
Okay.
And they do college basketball pretty well.
But yeah,
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that if Max Christie is leaving after one season, okay.
I'm with JC, though. Hunter Dickinson right now doesn't look like your typical NBA guy. You know, again, like you said, he came back so he could develop more, and that's what that mid-range game. He used to be getting all his buckets around the basket last year, and now he goes out 12, 15 feet and is making shots. And
look, if you're going to be a successful big man in the NBA, you better be able to get a handle.
Yes.
Like Joel Embiid. I don't know if you watched any of that Lakers 76ers game last night, but Embiid and Anthony Davis are the kind of big men. Hunter Dickinson doesn't look anything like either of those guys.
Right.
So no knock on him. To me, he's going to be the best player on the floor on Saturday. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Max Christie will look like a god.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I see, but, the proof is going to be in the pudding. I do know this, that Michigan has started to figure out their substitution pattern. And Michigan State hasn't, just because of the inconsistency of the players that they have in their rotation, Keith.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got Tom Izzo, his experience. It's that time of year that we should be expecting to see what I expect on set. I think somehow, some way, Michigan State's going to find a way to win this game. And Izzo's going to get win number 659, which puts them three short of Bob Knight at Indiana for the most in the Big Ten history.
Wow.
I did not know that. That's
pretty amazing.
That's way impressive, no doubt about it. But I'm leaning your way, Keith. I think Michigan State finds a way to win it. So, JC, that automatically means bet the house on Michigan.
Well, we don't have any lines available, so I can't tell you. I got to imagine that it's probably going to be State favored by 1.5. That would be my guess.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
But, you know, guys, since we're on college basketball and you know it's my favorite subject, it's been great. College basketball has been great. Look out for Shaka Smart and Marquette.
Oh,
they've won me a lot of money recently, and that team is starting to play like the Shaka Smart team. They play really good defense, but he's got some scorers this year at Marquette. My Bruins won a game that they were big underdogs at Pauley Pavilion against Arizona.
Oh, they dominated that game. Wow.
So UCLA is looking good. Any night you want to turn on TV,
there's good basketball.
There's good basketball.
What do you think of Kansas this year?
I've only seen him play once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always kind of discount Kansas, but they're always there.
Yeah.
The Big 12 is dynamite.
Oh, I know.
They seem to, they play in a lot of rock fights, and they end up winning the games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say, hey, look, Self is probably the most underrated coach in basketball.
Yeah.
Did you follow any of this SHI you know what at Louisville?
Oh
my God.
Getting rid of Chris Mack there?
The players got rid of Chris Mack.
Yeah. Oh, I know. See, I did not know.
Yeah, it was an absolute mutiny.
I didn't know. I did not know.
They stopped playing for him. I don't know what happened. It hasn't. I don't know if he said something to one of the guys in the locker room, or it might have been. We don't want to work that hard. You know, there's a lot of divas, five-star divas that go to Louisville each and every year because it's a pretty heralded program.
Sure.
But they just essentially went around Mac, told the athletic director, we can't play for this guy anymore.
And so he was from Xavier, right? He was had all that success of getting teams to there.
Eight teams to the Sweet 16.
Right. I mean, so, yeah, he's a good coach. He's proven it. But with, quote-unquote, lesser talent, and then – can you coach the more highly touted players the same way you coach the kids at Xavier?
Yeah, when you don't want to play defense or you don't want to run this kind of structured offense.
Yeah.
You know, look at Penny Hardaway's having the exact same problem in Memphis right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they're just barely above 500.
Well, you know, he's got a whole bunch of show ponies. And, you know, it's just getting worse and worse, Keith. The kids that, from, what do you call it? What's the league? AAU ball.
Yeah.
So you've got these AAU teams, and these kids are getting patted on the back and everything else. So you're just producing more and more show ponies.
Yep. And you know what the AAU travel league, it's all offense, up and down the court. Let's do, no one plays any defense
NBA
at all.
All-star
and
stuff.
They just go, right, and that's and they expect to play that same way when they get to college or whatever. Well, that's not the case.
Well, and you got to have a great coach like an Izzo, you know, or Bill Self or whatever to put in defensive concepts. You know, look at Juwan Howard has stepped in there because he's got that cred from the NBA and the Fab Five. But, you know, obviously Chris Mack, you know, it's fine to go to Louisville when you get laid on your trip. And then you got to then you figure out that I got to play defense and run drills. What?
Coach wants me to show up at 6 in the morning? What?
Talk about good college basketball, JC. Tomorrow, you like Michigan over number 10, Michigan State in East Lansing. But I think Oklahoma's going to give number 1 Auburn a tussle tomorrow. And Arizona State at number 3, Arizona. Number 24.
That's an odd non-conference game sitting in the middle of the schedule right there, Oklahoma, Auburn. We'll find out. You know, Bruce Pearl's got the best team money can buy.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, you wait for the other shoe to drop here.
Illinois, number 24, playing pretty good basketball a lot of nights, but they're going to play at Northwestern tomorrow. Northwestern's played really tough against Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, well, Kofi Coburn should be completely back out of the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Then we got number 12, Kentucky, at number 5. Kansas, that's the game of the day, probably.
I don't know. Kentucky's not as... They better win that game, because Kentucky is not as great as they usually are.
And Stanford is at number 7 UCLA on Saturday, too.
Well, Stanford has been... You know, I should have bet on them last night. They were getting quite a few points at USC, and they won outright.
Yeah.
Stanford's playing some pretty interesting basketball. There's some good teams in the pack.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Juzang is going to be available. I think he's in health and safety protocol, so that means X number of days. But
well, good game on Sunday, Ohio State at number 16, Ohio State at number 6, Purdue.
Yeah, in college basketball, you knew there was going to be a great slate of college basketball games the day before the NFL playoffs. So, yeah, it'll be Clicker City for JC. when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we've got a number of things to bring up. I want to get Keith's take on when the baseball strike will be settled, because by my way of thinking, it looks like it's going to be pretty soon. That and a little of Red Wing stuff as well on Up North Sports Radio here on and the Friday Faceoff Show brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City in Petoskey.
In the 70s?
No. Okay. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And Keith, the Wings continue to be a mystery.
Maddening.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you score 5 goals at home, you should win a hockey game.
Right.
But you can't give up 8. You know, Nedeljkovic, the young goaltender, is struggling lately. I was going to say that, you know, we were used to saying the offense can't score goals, but they're scoring goals. You know, they got to win more when they get scoring like that. They're not playing very well right now. They're way out of the playoffs, even though they're the first team, leading the race for the second wild card spot.
Right.
But they're like 8-9 points back, and it's never going to happen. But they do play a couple of games this weekend. They're at Pittsburgh tonight.
Lost.
7 p.m. start. Yeah, and Pittsburgh's playing really
good. They are.
And then Saturday night, really good game at the Pizzerino. Toronto comes to town. LCA will be rocking when Toronto comes to town and all those people come across.
Can they come across?
I don't think so. That's a good point. Maybe not.
Daughter works at Harry's, and she loves the fact when hockey games are in town. She said they're much busier during hockey than basketball games.
It's starting to wake up downtown again.
So they're they've also changed up the lines just a little bit, Keith.
They put Tyler Bertuzzi on the second line with Pugh Suter and Robbie Fabry, and they're getting scoring from that line, a pretty good amount of scoring. And
they got to get some defensemen.
Their
defensemen are so poor,
and they made big mistakes.
You know, it's
not all of them. They got three pretty good defensemen in Nick Leddy and the kid Moritz Seider is their best defenseman.
Seider's,
he
still makes a lot of errors because
he's a rookie.
I get it.
Yep.
He's a rookie.
I know,
but. They got defensemen coming. I agree with that. Lucas Raymond, the young forward, in the race for Rookie of the Year. I think, frankly, Moritz Seider is a better candidate for that honor, Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Although Trevor Zegras out in Anaheim is going to win it probably. But
just to point out the Wings' defensive deficiencies.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the over and under on goals scored for an NHL hockey game is 5.
Yeah.
Tonight's game, 6.5.
Well, they're playing. They're playing the one of the highest scoring teams in the league.
But it's a point.
I agree with you there. Yeah. But this kid, Lucas Raymond. Everybody. A lot of people want to say that he's the beneficiary playing with Dylan Larkin, who's having such a great season.
Right.
There are real hockey people out there who said that the reason why Dylan Larkin is having such a great season is Lucas Raymond. He's the guy who raises the level of play of his teammates.
Well, it's for a change. Lucas Raymond is getting a little bit more room on the ice.
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin's getting more room on the ice because of that.
That's right.
There's very few players in the NHL, Keith, that don't need any help. Ovechkin has always played with two of the better players on the ice, and the same thing with the Marchand line and everything else. Every time they've ever tried to break up that Marchand line, the offense goes stagnant. You tell me who's the greatest offensive force that didn't need anybody. The list is really short.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Lucas Raymond sees the ice like a 10-year vet.
Oh, he reminds me of Yzerman as a young guy. The way he, right-hand shot, the way he moves around and so on. He's a player to watch for a long time. Now, you mentioned the defense. I think Filip Peronik has taken a step back again. He was so good a couple of years ago playing as much as he was, not playing nearly as well now. And Danny DeKeyser, I'm sorry, is really, as much as I like the guy, is struggling big time.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time something bad happens on the ice, you can see number 65 there, scrambling, trying to, get up.
Right. Looks like something out of Slapshot.
It's sad to watch.
If you read the tea light, I was just jumping over to Major League Baseball because I brought it up. It looks like there are dollar amounts that are ripe for compromise, Keith. I don't know if you've talked to Lynn Henning or your buddy.
Larry Sorensen.
Sorensen. But it, the way I look at it, I wouldn't be surprised if the strike is settled in the next 7 days.
I hope you're right, JC. Do you have any thoughts?
At least they're meeting and talking, and it sounds like they want to get this done before spring training actually starts, which would be huge.
So much money
in
spring training.
I agree with everything you're saying, and I agree with you, too, that they're down to it seems like the hard issues. They're talking about money, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about increasing minimum salary so young players can make more money, increasing bonus money so that the richest players can make more money and so on.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I'm a skeptic. This is Major League Baseball. This is the Major League Baseball Players Association, the greediest organization in sports. I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
I hope training camp opens when it should, but I'm going to be a cynic.
Speaking of cynic, Rich brought up when we were talking off air about Cade Cunningham having his best offensive game of the year and still the Pistons losing. They have a game tonight against Orlando. That's probably my bet of the day, folks.
In Orlando.
In Orlando, and the Pistons catching three. I'm not sure Jeremy Grant is going to play, but he's back on the team and everything else, and I think this squad should be pretty good with Grant in the lineup, and Olynyk should be back from a health and safety protocol.
Right.
But, Rich, you got a trade deal in the works.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's been bandied about as one of the top guys potentially available in the NBA, and here's one I came across that I really thought I liked it. Jeremy Grant, of course, would go to the Atlanta Hawks, and John Collins, the younger, 3 years younger, only 24 years old, would come to the Pistons. And Collins just signed a new deal last year, this past summer. Collins averages 17 points a game, 8 rebounds. He shoots 53% from the field. He shoots 42.5% from beyond the arc. So 80% free throw shooter as well. So the kid rebounds. He's 6'9 and long at 226 pounds. He doesn't get along with Trae Young all that well because he thinks Trae Young, it comes down and just guns it from 40 feet, which he does a lot, and he doesn't get everyone involved in the offense. So Collins isn't happy with that.
Have you seen the trade rumors yet for Jeremy Grant for Ja Morant?
No, I don't. No way would they do that. Exactly.
Who's proposing that trade, by the way?
That was on CBS.
CBS?
Yeah, yep. I don't believe some of this crap. Like
it's kind of funny.
The deal that they reported that the Pistons, all the crap that the Pistons offered for Ben Simmons is farcical. Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. What's the trade deadline?
About 10 days, 2 weeks away, somewhere right in there?
It's the one thing we have to be very skeptical of. There's a lot of stuff out there online. That's why I ask you the source of that.
Exactly.
Always check the source, where this stuff is coming.
Right.
Are they credible or not credible? There's so much incredible stuff out there.
Each team has a website that's essentially done by fans. And if you're scrolling through it,
it's one-sided news.
Absolutely.
No, it's wishful thinking.
That's right. That's right.
Pete, before we head to the Fick and Son Sportscape, anything left?
I just want to gauge your excitement about the Olympics starting up in a few days, February 4th. No, yes.
U of M's
U of M's got a bunch of players playing in the men's hockey tournament.
Owens.
I'll be interested to see what that does to U of M.
They're struggling because these guys have been away from their teams with these World Junior teams or now the Olympic teams. So they were started.
I know
number
Western
one in the country
is now leading is winning the division.
They're down to 6 or 7 in the country right now because they don't have their team.
No one.
But. I'm excited about the Olympics. I like the Winter Olympics more than the Summer Olympics, especially the hockey tournaments. The men's side isn't going to be as good. But the women's side, when the Team USA and Team Canada plays, worth the price of admission.
Look at they're getting top billing in NBC's advertising.
That's right. Women are the gold medal defending champions, by the way. Remember that?
I'll definitely check it out, Keith. And there are certain events, like you said, the hockey, both men's and women's, I'm interested in. There's downhill skiing, both men's and women. I love that stuff. I mean, the speeds that they get are incredible.
I'm mesmerized by the ski jumping. Always. Have been forever.
Flying through the air. Yeah. With the greatest of ease. Thanks, Keith.
All right.
Good morning, Jerry.
Andrew, hold on a second. It's time for the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. Fick and Sons proudly supports all Northern Michigan student-athletes. For all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable, fickandsons.com. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne remaining here in studio to talk high school sports. And we have Andrew Rosenthal from the Record Eagle joining us. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I guess I jumped the gun. Good morning, Jerry.
No, it's okay. Glad to have you, Andrew. I know we've got a full slate of games tonight, but there was A lot of activity last night, Rich.
Yeah, there certainly was, JC and Andrew. You know, one of the big matchups in the girls game, again, a full slate of games, was Gaylord St. Mary's and Lake Leelanau St. Mary's. And I tell you what, Gaylord St. Mary's came out two ranked teams, and Gaylord St. Mary's won 62-50.
Go Snowbirds!
That's right. Did you have Andrew?
Yeah, they were tied 25 at the half, I believe. There was only about 250 people there. But the cool thing I heard about that was the UW Stout coach came into Gaylord to watch the game because the Snowbirds were running the same defense that he installed. So,
I'm sorry, okay. What school came?
Yeah. University of Wisconsin Stout.
Oh, okay. Gotcha,
I forget his name, but he was actually in attendance to watch the defense that he kind of like invented.
Yeah. Well,
there's only about 250 people there, and he was one of them. So
that's a lot. I mean, those are two very small schools. That's a pretty good crowd, Andrew. I mean, St. Mary's, they only have 63 kids in the high school, and Leelanau St. Mary's probably has 80.
Right. Yeah.
But tonight, I think the Snowbirds also have another highlight matchup. They got Ellsworth in Ellsworth. It's a rematch of last year's regional semifinal where the Eagles won. Ellsworth hasn't had less than 60 points in a game this season, and this is going to be a big test for them. 70 in all but two. They've already picked up a pretty good non-conference win with Mancelona earlier this season. They got Braden Steenway, Callum Fletcher, and Patrick Purell. And then obviously St. Mary, Sir James has talked about them when he's been on. They got Sean Bramer, Dylan Barnowski, and August Schaub. Fun fact, both schools participate in a co-op for football. So Braden was once the quarterback for Central Lake in a game at Sutton Bay with Bramer, Barnowski, and Schaub wearing red. So I won't be there. Jay, you can find tweets from James Cook there. I'll be reporting from a game just up the road, Point City versus TC St. Francis. Snow coming game for the Ramblers. The Glads just beat Elk Rapids this week, and now they have a chance to solidify first place in the conference with a win against the number three team with Boyne City, number three in the Lake Michigan Conference, that is. So that's where I'll be, and you can follow me on Twitter at @ByAndrewR, and I'll be reporting from there.
Yeah, like you said, those that talk about two ranked teams, again, the AP poll, Traverse City St. Francis, number five in Division III, and Boyne City, honorable mention, in Division II. Always a great matchup, both football and basketball, now that we're on the hardwood.
Yeah, Boyne had, especially in football, they had Bobby Hoth. He's wrestling this year, but yeah, they were both undefeated at the time of the football game for sure.
What were some of the other results? It looks like it switched back now, Rich. Most of the girls played last Thursday. Boys tonight. I know you've got the TC West game.
We do. Yeah, Petoskey comes to town. A team that West went up to Petoskey 2 weeks ago, won an important game up there. Petoskey looking for revenge now, coming down to TC West. Should be a really good ball game. And West has been off a week since that win at Cadillac. They've been off for really about 10 days, to be honest with you.
It'll be curious to see if this improved the team or if they're going to be rusty. We had that conversation last week about sometimes the rest being beneficial to get a lot of your sets together, and sometimes it's just, you come out firing blanks in the first quarter. And I know our Grayling Vikings are back at it tonight as well.
Yeah.
And on the girls' side, you have TC Central at Alpena, second to BNC, TC West at Petoskey, third to BNC. Gaylord had a pretty strong start to the season, but they lost to Alpena last week. So the conference can get really shaken up if one of the TC teams gets a win tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That West win down at Cadillac really brought everyone back into the field. And we've been talking a little bit of girls' basketball, too. And in that Big North Conference, Gaylord, they actually, about a week, they lost two in a row, the Gaylord girls did, which was surprising. But they lost to Alpena 61-46. And Alpena's surprised. They're 3-1 in conference play. So those girls are doing a good job. The boys team also playing well. So that one's up for grabs. Petoskey and TC West both at 2-2 in girls action as well in the Big North.
If we want to talk a little bit of hockey, Petoskey's at Alpena. Both those teams have kind of had pretty strong seasons for the first time in a while. I know Central has won the BNC for the last 3 years. and that looks to be in jeopardy this year. It's not mathematically impossible when I was talking to Coach Chris Gibbons yesterday, but it's they're going to need some help from those two teams. Alpena plays TC West the next day in Alpena, and all those schools only have one loss so far.
Just, I don't know if you had it with you, Rich. I mentioned Grayling. They're taking on Elk Rapids. So the
okay.
Grayling Vikings are 6-3 at Elk Rapids 7-3. We've been talking about that Grayling team trying to get all their players back on the court and everything
right.
else. So it should be a great game. That's going to be over on 100.3.
No doubt.
Of course, you'll be doing. Is Devitt doing the game?
No, he's not. No, he is not. It's going to be JJ and I.
Okay. Right. So and on 106.3. Andrew, you had texted me about coming on the show today. I know there was something close to your heart you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, Jerry, I've done several feature stories on Olympians from north of Traverse City and Traverse City North competing in Beijing. There's five, believe it or not. There's five
wow.
athletes north of Traverse City
wow.
that are set to go to Beijing. And I can probably talk about their stories, but the ones I want to really highlight are Winter Abenaki and Kayla Kuhn. They're both going to be competing in freestyle aerial skiing. It's kind of an event that's been described as a mashup between ski jumping and gymnastics.
Yeah.
Kayla's 18 years old, just graduated from Boyne City.
Wow.
And the students there are working to send postcards to her to, because, you know, there's not going to be fans in Beijing. Their families can't go.
Right.
Started skiing at 18 months old, moved out to Park City, Utah at an early age. She actually met the girl she's going with, Winter Abenaki, through, like, a family friend. She was in gymnastics, and Winter was like, oh, come out for the team. And she went to a tryout, did what's called the Elite Area Development Program in Lake Placid, New York, special place in the Winter Olympic history for those of us. And fans of Miracle. and then Winter, 23, she's just a heck of an athlete. You know, when she was 13 years old, she broke the record for being the youngest person to run a marathon on 7 continents. And that includes Antarctica.
Oh,
there's a pretty story about,
wow.
and there's a pretty crazy story about that on episode 153 of our Get Around podcast. I think Winter's coming off her best season yet on the FIS World Cup. She finished second on the tour with 3 podiums, first in Moscow, second and third the next 2 weekends. She's working in a variation of her triple twisting double backflip.
That sounds scary to me.
That's the two hardest tricks you could do in this sport. The main ones are called a double full and then a full double full. The second one's more difficult because it involves 2 twists on the second flip. And they practice this stuff in the summer by jumping into a pool. That tells you kind of how dangerous it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, the training for that has got to be crazy. Just real quick, guys, I want to give a shout-out to Fick & Sons. It is your local, competitive, and reliable propane provider, but they are so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel. Visit Charlie's Country Corridor on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, the Super 8 Motel, and, of course, the full-service diesel garage. Fick & Sons and Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store. Over on M-72 at Bear Lakes, you can fuel up at Fick & Sons and Marathon with a convenience store, or Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane cylinder refills, and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli to come soon. Find out what Fick & Sons has near you at fickandsons.com. Andrew, who are some of the other athletes heading to Beijing in our local area here?
Well, you have Zoe Kalapos. She's 24, from downstate. She learned to ski as a 2-year-old at Boyne Highlands in Harbor Springs. I don't want to get into too much detail about her. You can find out more in a story in Sunday's Record Eagle. But fun fact, her dad kind of designed a mountain in their backyard. They called it Mount Kalapos. And they would have literally, like, the whole community coming to their backyard to go ski and snowboard. So how much dedication do you have? I know we've heard a lot of stories about people with, like, designing ice rinks for hockey players. But
right.
Her dad literally made a mountain in her background for her to snowboard growing up.
That's wild, Andrew. I mean, that absolutely. Obviously, you know, you have to get approval from said spouse. You have to get all that stuff in your backyard. You got to bring in a whole lot of heavy equipment then as well to build
they
literally.
No.
Yeah.
The one that's been getting a lot of attention is Abby Rock of Sault Ste. Marie. She's going to be the first indigenous member of the U.S. women's national hockey team to play the Olympics.
Awesome.
From the Wanapite First Nation, which is part of the Ojibwe First Nation based out of Northern Ontario. She's going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated next month.
Oh, cool.
College teammates at Wisconsin with Delaney Drake, who's from Traverse City. And the Badgers,
go Badgers.
By Mark Johnson.
Go the Badgers.
Famous miracle, the Badgers are coached by Mark Johnson. He's from the famous Miracle team.
Yes, I
know. They won the 2019 National Championship.
Yeah.
Rock with the 2020 Patty Kazmir Award. I think I pronounced that right, which is the top collegiate female player. And she plays for the Minnesota section of the PWHPA, which is one of two major leagues in U.S. professional women's hockey. Women are obviously coming off a gold in Pyeongchang in 2018. And I think she's going to be pretty cool one to watch. Center, play center for the women. And the last one is Nick Bumgardner. He's from Iron River, which is kind of just south of Marquette. I really don't know much about his story other than he's the oldest member of Team USA at 40 years old. It's his fourth Olympics. Hmm. Competes in snowboard cross.
Snowboard cross?
Oh. Yes. I actually don't know about the event. I'll have to Google it and watch highlights. But he has a 17-year-old son, Landon, who is 3 days older than one of his teammates.
Oh, that's interesting.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, thanks for giving us that local flavor. We really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing your reporting tomorrow. We'll probably be quoting you during the Bill Maher Scoreboard Show. And do you guys know what the Get Around podcast is going to be yet?
Not yet. I'm sure the two other guys do, but I don't. I wasn't planning on that.
Andrew Rosen.
You'll have to find out Monday. Monday around midnight is when we usually post it on social media. We've heard from a lot of people that it's what they listen to on the drive to work Tuesday, and we always enjoy doing the podcast.
It's a great podcast, always local, always informative, and sometimes entertaining.
It's entertaining when Andrew's on the podcast.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
Good call,
Andrew.
Thanks for reading the tea leaves, and thanks for joining us here on the Fick and Son Sportscape.
No, it's a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thanks, right. Bud.
Yeah, Rich, the one other thing I wanted to talk about locally that's happening this weekend is the MIRA snowmobile races that I talked about on Northern Focus today. Right at exit 279 off 75, professional and amateur snowmobile races on an oval track.
That's way cool. The oval track is awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of a smaller version of the M400 that happens up in the Sioux every year.
Right. The I-500 up there. Yep.
And easy to get to. Tickets are just $10 or $15 if you're going to go both days. Happening both Saturday and Sunday, starting pretty early. I'll stop by after the Bill Maher Sports Scoreboard Show tomorrow. But I just wanted to give a shout out if you want to get out and see some really furious snowmobile racing.
And a lot of work goes into those guys building the track and doing everything. So thank you to the Gaylord area and community for supporting this, because there's a lot that goes in behind the scenes.
All right, so good luck to you tonight. That's on the road, that game?
No, it's at home. Oh. It's at West, yeah. It's, again, a battle of second-place teams. Both teams 3-2 in conference play, so they want to stay within one game of Cadillac.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in to the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show here on Up North Sports Radio. Remember, for all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons. Local, competitive, reliable. Check them out at fickandsons.com. Just to repeat one more time, at 6:30, 6:45 tonight on 100.3, you've got the Grayling Vikings versus Elk Rapids. What is it? Elks? The Elks. And over on 106.3, TC West Titans and Petoskey.
Yep, looking forward to it. JJ and I, JJ's been filling in for Tom Devitt, doing a great job. So it's going to be another fun game tonight at West.
And we'll be back with you right here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for the Bill Maher High School Scoreboard Show.